إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي أبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد أيها الإخوة والأخوات في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book Al-Muntaqa min Akhbar al-Mustafa, written by Shaykh Majduddin Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah. Bab Rafu' al-Yadayn wa Bayan Sifati wa Mawadi'i. This chapter addresses the waving of the two arms and the manner of raising each or raising them, one of the Egypt, likewise the areas, the places where we read the two arms. And Abi Urayrah qala, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam إذا قام إلى الصلاة رفع يديه مدا رواه الخمسة إلا ابن ماجه أبو هريرة من الله بكثير الحين said that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قام إلى الصلاة whenever he rose to pray that is to observe Salah. Rafa'a yadayhi, he will raise his two arms maddan, outstretched. That is, he will stretch them out. Maddan, he will stretch his two arms out. Rawahu al-Khamsa, the five reported deeds, illa ibn Majah, except Ibn Majah. That is, Al-Imam Ahmad and At-Tirmidhi, An-Nasai, Abu Dawood. So they reported this, so except Ibn Majah. One way bin Hujur, annahu ra'a an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yarfa'u yadayhi ma'a takbira. Way bin Hujur said, he saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within his two arms ma'a takbira, with the takbiratu al-ihram. Rawahu Ahmad wa Abu Dawud. Al-Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawud reported this. Wal ibn Umar qala, from Abdullah the son of Umar, he said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قام إلى الصلاة رفع يديه حتى يكون بحذو منكبيه ثم يكبر. عبد الله بن عمر said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم raised his two arms whenever he rose to pray حتى يكون بحذو منكبيه, until they will be level with his two shoulders. ثُمَّ يُكَبِّرُ, then he will say Allahu Akbar. فَإِذَا أَرَادَ أَنْ يَرْكَعْ رَفَعَهُمَا مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. So whenever he wanted to bow that he wanted to do rukur, he would raise his two arms like that. وَإِذَا رَفَعَ رَاسَهُ مِنَ الرُّكُوعِ رَفَعَهُمَا كَذَلِكَ. And whenever he raised his head from rukur, he would raise them thus. فقال سمع الله لمن حمده ربنا ولك الحمد. And he would say سمع الله لمن حمده ربنا ولك الحمد. متفق عليه. And this is agreed upon. وللبخاري الإمام البخاري هذا ولا يفعل ولا يفعل ذلك حين يفتح. Abdullah bin Umar said he will not do that whenever he frustrated. وَلَا حِنَ يَرْفَعُ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ السُّجُودِ. And whenever he raised his head from sujood, he will not do that. وَلِمُسْلِمٍ الإمام المسلم reported وَلَا يَفْعَلُ حِنَ يَرْفَعُ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ السُّجُودِ. That Abdullah bin Umar said he will not do that when within his head from sujood. وَلَهُ أَيْضًا الْإِمَامُ مُسْلِمْ also had it وَلَا يَرْفَعُهُمَا بَيْنَ السَّجْدَتَيْنِ. He will not raise the two arms between the two prostrations. وَأَنْ نَافِعُ from نَافِعُ أَنَّ ابْنَ عُمَرَ كَانَ إِذَا دَخَلَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. He said that when Abdullah ibn Umar entered into salah, كبر, he will say الله أكبر ورفع يديه, and he raised his two hands. وإذا ركع, whenever he bowed, رفع يديه, he raised his two hands. وإذا قال سمع الله لمن حمده, when he said سمع الله لمن حمده, رفع يديه, he raised his two hands. وإذا قام من الركعتين, when he rose from الركعتين, that is from first tashahhud, رفع يديه, he would also raise his two arms. ورفع ذلك ابن عمر إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And Abdullah bin Umar ascribed this to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. رواه البخاري والنسائي وأبو داود. الإمام البخاري reported this, and النسائي and Abu Dawud. That is, Ibn Umar would do this as reported by Nasr, and Ibn Umar ascribed this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وعن علي بن أبي طالب عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه كان إذا قام إلى الصلاة المكتوبة كبر ورفع يديه. He said that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rose to the composed salah, kabbara, he would say Allahu Akbar, wa rafa'a yadihi hadwa mankibay, and he would raise his two hands to the level of his two shoulders. Wa yasna'u mithla dhalika idha qada qira'atahu wa arada an yarka'a. And he would do similar thing whenever he finished his recitation and wanted to do rukur. وَيَسْمَعُ إِذَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ الرُّكُوعِ. And he would do similar thing. وَيَسْمَعُهُ إِذَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ الرُّكُوعِ. He would do similar thing when he raised his head from rukur. وَلَا يَرْفَعُ يَدَيْهِ فِي شَيْءٍ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ وَهُوَ قَاعِدٌ. And he would not raise his hand in anything of his salah while seated. وإذا قام من السجدتين رفع يديه كذلك وكبر. So whenever he rose from the two sajda, the two rakah, that is after he had done the first tashahhud, رفع يديه كذلك, he raised his two arms as well. وكبر أن يصير الله أكبر. رواه أحمد وأبو داود والترمذي. الإمام أحمد reported this عن أبو داود عن الترمذي وصححه and he said it is صحيح. He said it is what? صحيح. وقد صح التكبير في المواضع الأربعة في حديث أبي حميد الصاعدي وسنذكر. The author says it is authentic that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did takbir في المواضع الأربعة in the four places في حديث أبي حميد الصاعدي وسنذكر in the hadith of Abu Umayd al-Sa'idi and we shall mention this. عن أبي قلابة from أبو قلابة أنه رأى مالك بن الأويري. He said he saw Malik the son of Uweri إذا صلى كبر. Whenever he preached he would do الله أكبر ورفع يديه. He raises two hands. وَإِذَا أَرَادَ يَرْكَعْ رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ. Whenever he wanted to do rukur, he would also raise his two hands. وَإِذَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ. When he raised his raised his head from rukur, he raised his two hands. وَحَدَّثَ أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صنع أكذا. And he said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم did so. متفق عليه. This is agreed upon. وفي رواية in a report أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا كبر رفع يديه. Whenever he said الله أكبر he raised his two hands. حتى يحاذي بإماء أذنه until he would make it level with his two ears. وإذا رفع until he would make them level with his two ears. وإذا ركع رفع يديه حتى يحاذي بإماء أذنه. And whenever he bowed, that is whenever he did recur, who also raised the two hands until he made them level with the two ears. وَإِذَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ الرُّكُوعِ. Whenever he raised his head from rukur, he would do that. وَقَالَ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. And said, وَسَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. فَعَلَ مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. He would do similar thing. رواه أحمد ومسلم. الإمام أحمد and Muslim reported this. وفي لفظ لهما in a word reported by Imam Ahmad and Muslim حتى يؤذي بهما فروع أذنيه until he made them level with the top of his two ears. The top of his two ears. وعن أبي حميد الصاعدي from أبو حميد الصاعدي أنه قال he said وهو في العشرة من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم while he was in the midst and the presence of 10 from among the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم أعظم أبو قتادة. One of them was Abu Qatada. He said, أنا علامكم بصلاة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, I'm the most knowledgeable about the prayer of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم amongst you. قالوا ما كنت أقدم منا لأو صحبة. They said to him, you never accompanied him more than anyone of us. وَلَا أَكْثَرَ لَهُ إِتْيَانًا. And she will not go to him more than any one of us. So why that? He said, قَالَ بَلَى. He said, yes, I know that I will not go to him more than any one of you, and I know that I did not prestige, I'm not the foremost, so to say, in terms of accompanying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, people like Abu Bakr, Umar, radiallahu anhumah, they were before me, and many others like that. So I'm not the one that came first when we talk about his companionship. Likewise, I'm not the one that will visit him most amongst you all. But the issue I'm talking about is that I know the salah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam better than you. قالوا ما كنت أقدم منا له صحبة ولا أكثر له إتيانا. قال بل قبل فأرد. He said, okay, let us see, display. فقال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, إذا قام إلى الصلاة اعتدل قائما. Whenever he rose to pray, اعتدل قائما, he will stand erect. ورفع يديه, and he would raise his two hands, حتى يحاذي بهما منكبيه, until he make them level with his shoulders. وكبر, and you see الله أكبر. فإذا أراد أن يركع, when he wanted to bow, رفع يديه حتى يحاذي بهما منكبيه, he will raise his two hands until he make them level with his shoulders. ثم قال, then he will say الله أكبر وركع, and he will do ركوع. ثم اعتدل فلم يصوب رأسه ولم يكنر. So he will do اعتدال, that is, the ركوع will be moderate. So he will not bend his neck, nor will he raise his head up. لم يصوب رأسه ولم يكنر. ووضع يديه على ركبتيه, and he placed his two hands on his knees. ثم قال, then he said, سمع الله لمن حمده, سمع الله لمن حمده. ورفع يديه, he raised his two hands, واعتدل, and he will stand erect, حتى يرجع كل عظم في موضعه, till every bone will go back to their place. معتدلا ثم هوى إلى الأرض. Then after that, he watch, he will go down ساجدا prostrating. ثم قال الله أكبر, and he will say الله أكبر. ثم ثنى رجله وقعد عليها. Then he will bend his leg and sit on it. واعتدل, and he will be moderate here, حتى يرجع كل عظم في موضعه, till every bone would go back to their place. ثم نهض, then he will get up. ثم صنع في الركعة الثانية مثل ذلك, he will do similar thing in the second rak'ah. حتى إذا قام من السجدتين كبر. So when he rose from the first two rak'ah, كبر, he will say الله أكبر. ورفع يديه, he will raise his two hands, حتى يحاذي بهما منكبيه, until he made them level with his shoulders. كما صنع حين افتتح الصلاة, the way he did when he started the salah. ثم صنع كذلك حتى إذا كانت الركعة التي تنقضي في الصلاة, أخر رجله اليسرى وقعد على شقه متوركا. Then he said, he would do similar thing until when it was a rak'ah with which the salah will be concluded. Akhara rijlahu yusra, he will do ta'khir of his watch, his left leg. Wa qa'ada ala shikihi, and he will sit on his watch on his buttocks. Mutawarrikan, he will sit on his book, that is his left side, so to say, sitting on his buttocks, then doing the ta'khir of the left leg, that is, he must sit on it. He sat on it when he did the first tashahud, and this is what we call what? Al-Iftirash. But here he will not sit on it. He will do the what? The ta'khir. That is, move it away from what? From sitting on it. Then he will sit on his buttocks. He will sit on his buttocks. So the warik is this side. This side, we have two warik that is above the thigh. So the place above the thigh is called the warik. So he will sit on the warik instead of sitting on the left leg. He will sit on the warik. As for the left leg, he will do the ta'khir, that is a kind of watch, move it away from sitting on it. So, and that's what he said, mutawarrikan, that he is sitting on his warik. Thumma sallam, then you say, taslim. Qalu, the 10 companions who are around, when Abu Humayr al-Sa'idi said, ana alamukum bi salati Rasulillahi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, sadaqta, you have spoken the truth. Ahakada, salla Rasulullahi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does preach the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rawahu al-Khamsatu illa al-Nasai. The 5 reported this except al-Nasai. That is al-Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, and at-Tirmidhi. Wa sahahahu at-Tirmidhi. At-Tirmidhi said is sahih. Wa rawahu al-Bukhari mukhtasuran. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported it as well, but mukhtasaran, that is in an abridged form, not as lengthy as this. So this is the hadith of Abu Umayj al-Sa'idi radiallahu anhu. If you look at all the hadith that Sheikh Majduddin Ibn Taymiyyah brought, talking about the reason of the ants in Salah, and he mentioned the places where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his ants in Salah. So we have at the beginning of the Salah, that is Takbiratul Ihram. Now there are 2 different things. Takbiratul Ihram is a pillar of Salah. This we have said several times. So the one who does not say Takbiratul Ihram, according to most scholars, in fact there is something of unanimity on it. Yes, every mas'ala you tend to see somebody that you have a strange position. But that strange position will be this watch, this carriage. So what most scholars are upon is that Takbiratul Ihram is compulsory, is a pillar. So no Takbiratul Ihram, no Salah. No Takbiratul Ihram, no Salah. Whoever does not do the Takbiratul Ihram has no Salah. So that's one. As for the raising of the ants, the 2 ants, maddan, raising it outstretched, with the fingers facing the qibla, likewise the fingers put together, not that they will be separated, they will be put together, and one will make them face the qibla. So this a sunnah, a sunnah. When I say sunnah, I mean sunnah mustahabba, according to most scholars. Why did I say according to most scholars? Because you have scholars who say it is fard, is compulsion. And this is the view of Dawood al-Zahiri. Likewise, this is ascribed to Imam al-Awza'i. Ibn Hazm in his book Al-Muhalla argues that it is what composed with the hadith of Malik al-Wiri, Sallu kamara etumuni usalli, pray the way you see me pray. And we say Al-Aslu fil Amri ish Al-Ujud. The basis is that when you see a command from Allah or from this messenger, the basis is that you treat it as what? Obligatory. Huh? Unless you see a text that subsumes the obligatory implication of the text. Are you with me? So if it has been said, we have not seen, so to, according to him, what subsumes the obligatory implication of what? Of takbiratu, of raising the hand at the beginning of the salah. He's talking about raising the hand at the beginning of the salah. He's not talking about other ones, but at the beginning of salah. So he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." So that is one. Then almost all the reporters from among the Sahaba, they all reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised the hand at the beginning of the salah. Take for instance, we have the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi alayhi rahmatullah reported from Ibn Mas'ud. He said, Ibn Mas'ud said, "Ala usalli bikum salata Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Let me observe for you the salah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fasalla, he prayed, فَلَمْ يَرْفَعْ يَدَيْهِ إِلَّا فِي أَوَّلِ مَرَّةٍ, and he did not raise his hand except at the beginning. Except once at the beginning. So this is the reason that Ibn Hazm said this hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud said he raised his hand. That is, Abdullah bin Mas'ud raised his hand at the beginning of the salah. He did not raise his hand except at the beginning of the salah. And we have the hadith, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." Now, how are we going to relate this hadith, Athar of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, who said to his companions, his students, that let me lead you the way the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could lead you. And he raised his hand at the beginning of salah. وَلَمْ يَرْفَعْ يَدَيْهِ إِلَّا فِي أَوَّلِ مَرَّةٍ, except the first time. So Ibn Hazm said, this shows that the fourth takbir, which is called the takbiratul ihram, raising hand with each is what? Just as the takbir itself, the takbiratul ihram is wajibah, that is fard. So raising of the hand is also wajibah, based on what the hadith of Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. And all those who reported the salah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they all mentioned the raising of the hands. You can see that from the hadith of Ibn Umar, hadith of Malik ibn Wairi, the hadith of Ali, or the hadith that the author brought. So there is almost a unanimity on what raising the hand at the beginning of the salah. But as I've said, the jumhur of the scholars, in fact, there is something close to what? Ijma' on it, that it is sunnah mustahabbah. Meaning, if somebody did not do it, we cannot declare the salah of that person invalid. But Ibn Hazm, watch, we boldly declare the salah invalid. Why? Because to him, raising of the hands at the beginning of the salah after the takbiratul ihram, or why doing the takbiratul ihram, is fard. And this, we said, is the position of Dawood al-Zahiri. Likewise, it's ascribed to Al-Imam al-Awza'i alayhi rahmatullahi jami'an. Oh, Allahu a'lam, this view is not correct. Now, the Hanafis, based on this hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, He said, let me pray for you, the Salah of the Messenger of Allah. So the Hanafis and some who are in Kufa are of the opinion that it is only at the beginning of the Salah that you raise your hands. What about going to Ruku? They say no. Raising from Ruku? They say no. Going to the third Raka? They say no. And if you look at all the hadith that the author has brought, so in some of the hadith, they mention three places at the beginning, Rukur, raising one's head from what? Rukur. Three places based on the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. In one hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, which Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported, he also mentioned what? When you are going to the third rakat. That is from a hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar himself. So making four places. Three places in the other hadith. Then in a report, he mentioned the fourth place, which is what? Going to the third rakah. Exactly. So the Hanafis will not work with this hadith. They will not work with this hadith. Likewise, some of the scholars of Kufa will not work with this hadith. Which one are we going to take? Are we going to take the hadith of the Messenger of Allah for some, or you are going to take the position of the Hanafis and the scholars of Kufa? I'm asking the hadith. Now, what if they argue that Ibn Mas'ud said, "Watch, ala usalli bikum salata Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Let me pray to you the prayer of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then, fasalla, he prayed. وَلَمْ يَرْفَعْ يَدَيْهِ إِلَّا فِي أَوَّلِ مَرَّةٍ. Can't you understand from that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not raise his hands in other places? Can we conclude from that? Okay, what can we see? Now we try to reconcile the two. How are you going to reconcile?
Because in other the nation where the Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is and secure the era, then in addition, when we look for the two, then out from the two, and another one when it's coming for the Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Now, so how can we reconcile? Now you brought the other ahadith. Why are we going to reconcile? Assume you want to reconcile between this ahadith and the claim of Abdullah ibn Umar. Ala usalli bikum salata Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa salla falam yarfa'a yadayhi illa fi awwali marra. Can we understand from that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu made a mistake? Or can we say the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at times would not raise his hand in other places? Which one? That means he will not raise his hand at times in other places. Why we use the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar and what? And Ali and Malik ibn Uwayd is to say what? He will do that, he will raise in other places at times. Exactly? Is there a consideration? Okay. Now, if you proceed, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, he will not do that. He will not raise his hand between the two sajda. Now, we have another hadith of Malik ibn Uwayd that he raised his hand between the two sajda. Al-Imam al-Nasai alayhi rahmatullah reported this. So, Al-Imam al-Nasai said, Akhbarana Muhammad ibn Sanna, Qala haddathana ibn Abi Abi an Shu'bah, an Qatada, an Nasri bin Asim, an Malik bin Uwayrith. أنه رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رفع يديه في صلاته. مالك بن وري said he saw the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم raise his hand in his salah. وَإِذَا رَكَعَ when he bows, وَإِذَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ الرُّكُوعِ when he raised his head from rukuu, وَإِذَا سَجَدَ when he did sujood, وَإِذَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ السُّجُودِ when he raised his head from sujood, حَتَّى يُحَاذِيَ بِهِمَا فُرُوعَ أُذْنَيْهِ until he will make them level with the top of his ears. Now this hadith, the Shayn, is authentic. However, the Jumhur of the scholars, they found issue with the hadith in that other hadith of Mal ibn Uwayris that talked about the reason of the ant did not make mention of between the sajda. Between the two sajda. Are you with me? Did not make mention of that. And the hadith is reported from Malik ibn Uwayris, reported from Malik ibn Uwayris, from Qatada as well. That is Qatada, then Nasr ibn Asim, and Malik ibn Uwayris. So this report of Shu'bah likewise is supported by report of Hammam, so and some other. Based on this, some scholars, like Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, said we cannot rubbish this hadith as well. Even when we have other reports from Malik ibn Uwayris. No, I mean Malik ibn Uwayris now. You know this, some students of Malik ibn Uwayris did not make mention of what that of sujood. Why we have those who made mention of sujood? So are we going to say we are going to rubbish it because it has addition to what to that of other, like that of Ibn Umar, that said he will not do it between the two sajda. So this is the reason why you see a lot of scholars, maybe you read the work of Sheikh Uthaymeen, Sheikh Ibn Baz and many others, they will say no raising of the hand between the two sajda. But the chain of the hadith as contained in Nasa'i is authentic. From Malik ibn Uwayris. From Malik ibn Uwayris. Likewise, Qatada reported it from the Nasr reported it from Malik ibn Uwayris. But this does not agree with some of the reports from the students of Qatada. So that's why some scholars say, no, we'll take the one that agrees, that is the hadith of Malik ibn Uwayris, the one that agrees with the hadith of Ibn Umar, where Ibn Umar said he will not do it between the two sajda. He said the nafi of Ibn Umar is an nafi al-jazim. An nafi al-jazim. And somebody negating something decisively. Do you understand that terminology? A nephew, al-jazim, not just ordinary nephew. What is Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen alayhi rahmatullah is trying to say is that, take for instance, if somebody says, nobody came to madrasa today, and the person is a trustworthy person. Another person said, Ibrahim came to madrasa today. The one who said, Ibrahim came to madrasa today is also what? A trustworthy person. Which one are we going to take? Ibrahim came to madrasa today. Why are you taking it? No, somebody told us, nobody, a trustworthy person said, oh, Ustaz, nobody came to madrasa today. Then Ibrahim, somebody now told us, another trustworthy person said, Ibrahim came to madrasa today. Who are we going to take his word from the two? The one that is more trustworthy? Okay. You say, the later. Why the later? So, scholars will always say, man, asbata. Al-Muthbitu Muqaddamun ala al-Nafi. The one that is establishing takes precedence over the one that is negating. So in order not to work with that principle, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen said, "What the nephew there is a nephew al-jazi. That is not just nephew that you can push somehow, that you can push away. It's nephew that is what? That is very strong, emphatic, decisive. Not just a nephew that we can say al-muthbit muqaddamun ala al-nafi." So that's why if you read the works of the Sheikh, he will tell you it is only in four areas that you can do raful yadin in salah. In the takbirat al-ihram, in the ruku', rafuna al-ruku', al-qiyam ila al-raka'ati al-thalitha. Some of the scholars only work with three places. In the takbirat al-ihram, ruku', rafuna al-ruku'. Because the hadith of Ibn Umar came in another way again, the one that established that you also do that in the whenever he was going to the third rakah. Are you with me? Is it clear? Uh-huh. So you may see some scholars who say it is only in three places. Some will say only in four places. Some will say in only one place. You know those who say in only one place? The Hanafis, based on the Athar of Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Ala usalli lakum, ala usalli bikum salata Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fasalla, falam yarfa yadayhi illa fi awwal marra. So all of the ahadith, they will not accept them. So they may treat them as if they are what? Mansukha. As if they are what? Mansukha. But those ahadith are authentic, and it is easy to reconcile between that of Ibn Mas'ud and that of the other ahadith. Are you with me? So we can say the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed the way Ibn Mas'ud prayed, and he also prayed the way Ibn Umar also narrated. So he will do this, he will do this. This will be a kind of reputation for the tune of Ibn Hazm that said what? That is rukun, is a pillar. How to explain now? So that is not something that you say is though he didn't say other takbirat. He used the first one, that of him was to say what? But it is something that the scholars have differed on. So if we go by this hadith of Malik ibn Uwayrith, if you authenticate the addition, that addition of what between Sajda, so that will be what? That will be another. So it shows that the scholars will differ on this matter. But alhamdulillah, it's not something they call what? Farj. They see it as sunnah mustahabba. As for those who say it is farj, so their position will not be said to be what? Really. Why? Because Sallu Kamara Etimuni Usalli, yes, when you say Al Aslu fil Amri Ujub, but not all the things that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in Salah that will be compulsory. There is what? There is consensus on this. Are you with me? Not everything that he did in the Salah that you say is compulsory. So there is consensus on this. Some will say, well, this is compulsory. Some will say this is not compulsory. For the fact that the scholars differ on some things being compulsory, not being compulsory, and maybe they agree that some things are what? Mustahabba. So it shows that what? The hadith of Sallu Kamara Itumuni Usalli would not be taken to mean what? That everything in the scholar is obligatory. Are you with me? So, Allahu A'lam, the Wadia opinion, or the weightiest opinion, is that you can raise the hand between the two sides as well. It is also sunnah to do that. It is also sunnah to do that. So you can do at times, you may not do at times. How this is clear? So I think this is the weightiest opinion, trying to reconcile all the available ahadith on this matter. Likewise, Sheikh Al-Albani in Tamam al-Minna also established something similar from Al-Muhalla of Ibn Hazm attributed to Ibn Umar. that you also do it. That you also do it. And similar thing is contained in Musannaf Ibn Abi Shayba. Ibn Abi Shayba in his Musannaf also reported similar thing. So Wallahu A'lam, this is the various opinion, that you raise your hand in six places. Do not compulsory. Not compulsory. So one may do at times, one may not do at times. So سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك. نعم. Okay. Costa.
At which point do you allow you to see your hand of rising to you? Someone raising his elbow from the floor. Do you immediately want them to be standing position or why not to go to his feet? And also, why when one raising his elbow from the floor, do you immediately at the same position why you want to go back to his
feet? Now, as for the raising of the hands, there is no specific way. In some of the hadith, you have what kabbara, thumma rafa yadayhi, rafa yadayhi, thumma kabbara. So whichever one you do, whether you raise your hand before doing the takbir, or you do the takbir before raising your hand, or you do them simultaneously, So whichever one you do, so this is not a big issue. So when you are raising your head from what? From ruku. So and you are saying Allahu Akbar, Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. So you do that simultaneously. So maybe after you have stood erect. So no'am. The most important thing is that what? You do it. And when you are going to ruku, so it is good if you do them simultaneously. To do simultaneously, that is the best. Allahu A'lam. Okay?
No.
Raise your hand.
Why do you do it?
Raka.
Some people do it before you.
Now, why going to the third raka if you want to do raising of the hand? Raising of the hand also goes with the takbir. The mazahib, here of the opinion that the takbir will be done as you are going to watch the third raka. So which means the raising of the hands can also go with the takbir to do them simultaneously. However, in the mazhab of the Malikiya, it is after you have stood erect in the third raka that you say Allahu Akbar. So the mazhab of the Malikiya is not that when you are going to the third raka you say what? Allah. No. You stand erect. That is when you are saying what? Allahu Akbar. So if you want to go by that, then you begin what? Raising the hand in the third raka. Though raising of the hand, are you with me? So they do not really support raising of the hand. It's only to watch at the beginning, ruku, rising from ruku. Now, okay. Which are our position?
And coming up the
going to the no. You're going to the sujood? Well, there is no text that says that you raise his hand to kulli khamdin wa rafa'. What is correct is you kadbir fi kulli khamdin wa rafa'. You will say Allahu Akbar in every khamd and rafa'. Not yarfa alayhi fi kulli khamdin wa rafa'. That's not authentic. So don't mix them up. يكبر في كل خفض ورفع authentic حديث. يرفع يديه في كل خفض ورفع that's not authentic. Okay. Now, how do you do the raising of the hand in watch in the takbir of the Eid prayer? Now, raising of the hand in the takbirat of Salatul Eid. So, according to a lot of scholars, maybe not support that. The Hanafis, they have the opinion that you raise your hand in every takbir, contrary to their position and what in the other salawat. So when it comes to what Salatul Janaza and Salatul Eid, they have the opinion that you raise your hand in every takbir. Now, how do you raise that? You have mentioned how to do the raising of the hand. Now, when you are going to the second rakah and you are making Allahu Akbar to, so you raise your hand. You raise your hand. Yes. Now, the second question.
I think I thought what happened in Burkina Faso, sorry, I get it, the military ruler in Burkina Faso said that the 801,000 students that studying Sharia law and Islamic studies in Saudi Arabia are going to move back. Because he said that they are not studying things that will develop the country. So I don't know.
So we learn the deen. We learn the deen. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi al-deen." So whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good for, he gives him the understanding of the deen. So we take the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Al-yastawi alladhina ya'lamun wa alladhina la ya'lamun." So those who are knowledgeable and those who are not knowledgeable, they are not the same. So, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. So many verses of the Quran, a hadith of the Messenger of Allah encouraging the knowledge of the deen, the Sharia. So nobody can tell us that we shouldn't learn the deen. So if we don't learn the deen, are we going to observe salah? Are we going to fast? Are we going to pay zakah? Are we going to do marriage? What are the things that are wrong? How to treat? What are the hukuk and the like? So we have to learn the Sharia. So we will listen to the statement of Kaina Mankana. So that is his own position. So, and which is what against the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, leave that one. We are less concerned about that. So what matters to us is what the Sharia says. Let him and his people be managing themselves. He doesn't have authority on us. That is blunt truth. But at the same time, we'll not be doing things that will be giving the people their problem. There are malams there. So when you attack him, he attacks the malams. So we are not going to benefit anything in that. So anybody that is firing him from this place should know that what he is giving the malams living in that country, giving them what? Problem. So let them manage their own issue. But you are not going to leave Islam because The law of Islam is more than watch. It's not just killing people. Allah has told us how to do things. The issue of taking a life of a person is not in the hand of every Tom, Dick, and Harry. This is the task of the authority. When somebody commits zina, theft, you can't just cut the person's hand. You can't just kill somebody. You can't flog somebody lashes because he commits zina. This is the task of the authority. So we should leave that to the authority. So those who are learning in Saudi Arabia, are they learning how to kill people? No. Long time. Yeah.
My question is...
Oh, sorry. Now, is it a sunnah to say Rabbana walakal hamdu laudi in addition to watch the saying of Sami Allahu liman hamida? We know that the Imam who say what Sami Allahu liman hamida, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, wa idha qala Sami Allahu liman hamida faqulu Rabbana lakal hamd. If he says Sami Allahu liman hamida, you say Rabbana. Does that mean that the Imam is not going to say Rabbana walaka alhamd? Huh? Does that mean that the Imam is not going to say Rabbana walaka alhamd? The Imam will say Rabbana walaka alhamd. So he will combine the two. Because we have the hadith that he will say that. That he will say Sami' Allahu liman hamida and he will say what? Rabbana walaka alhamd. So does that mean that the Ma'mum is not going to say Sami' Allahu liman hamida? Because he has said, وَإِذَا قَالَ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ فَقُولُ رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. The majority said yes. So the Ma'mumun will not say Sami' اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. They will only say رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. However, Imam al-Shafi and the Shafi'iyya, they have the opinion that the Ma'mum will also say Sami' اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. He only said, إِذَا قَالَ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ فَقُولُ رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ, to remind them that they will also say what? رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدُ. In addition to the سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ that they've heard him say, which means that the Imam is not going to say سَمِعَ رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ aloud. Is the question answered? Yes. No, he said the Sallu Kamara Itimuni Usalli. So ordinarily we'll say what the Imam says is what the Ma'mun should say. So when he said wa idha qara sami'a Allahu liman hamida faqulu rabbana wa lakal hamd, that means the Imam is not going to say what? Rabbana wa laka alhamd aloud.
Does he have any zikr?
No. Okay.
My question is, raising of the fourth tekbir, which is, why going for the fourth one? So will you see something?
Now it goes with what I've just explained. The Malikiyah, they believe it is when you are in standing position in the third rakah that you say takbir. Why others have the opinion that when you are getting up, you say it. So as you are saying it, you'll be raising the arms to you. Allah. Okay. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.